T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, we're live at Smoke on the Water. Mark Childress to my left, Sturge Diesel back at the ESPN Upstate Studios. We're headed back down I-85, and we're going to speak with Kent Covington from BravesWire.com. Kent, I hope you're doing well, because I would love to know where you believed on June 19th, before the season began, that the Braves would have the not only the best record in the National League East, but also in the entire National League.
Well, I totally predicted that. I mean, no need to go back and take a look at my tweets. You just take my word for it. Totally predicted it. I didn't. No, it's crazy to see where they're at. It's definitely not anything anybody really, you know, had any way of seeing, you know, to see this coming. I thought the Braves had a really good chance to be over 500. And I will say this, I thought coming into the season, there was just so much talent here that I said, I think the floor is somewhere near 500, a little under 500, but the ceiling is undefinable. You know, coming in with that much young talent, you just can't say where the ceiling is. You can't bank on things going the way that they've gone. You can't predict it. But when you have the talent, you have the potential, which obviously they did not have the last several years. This year they did have the talent for anything to be possible, and so far we've seen what happened. So hopefully this ride continues.
Hey Kent, Mark Childress here. Good talking to you, bud. The starting pitching has been nothing short of spectacular the last couple of weeks. Very unexpected, I think, from a couple of guys, but man, Folty's really stepping up. We're seeing Newcomb come into his own. What are your thoughts on the staff and where they're headed right now?
Looks great. I mean, the big thing, and this is something I said coming in to the season, that one of the keys for the Braves being able to do more than just simply eclipse 500, but to be able to compete for a potential postseason berth, was for at least two young starters to step up and become frontline guys. So, I mean, you go back to the early 90s and you look at when the Braves turned things around, and you had Tom Glavine step up, you had Steve Avery come in and step up. And so you had a couple of young guys establish themselves in the rotation. Smoltz was already pretty good, although in 91 he wasn't great. But they had a couple guys step up. And so that was really the key coming into this year as well, was to have at least a couple of all those talented young arms establish themselves as front-end guys this year. And it would appear, from what we've seen so far, that Newcomb and Folty have done just that. And now you have somebody in Mike Soroka who also looks really sharp, pitches and just has a baseball head on his shoulders that's well beyond his years. And so he seems to be another guy that has the potential to have an immediate impact going forward. The sample size is just so small right now, but he looks great. So those three guys, I mean, you start with that trio of young arms, and that's a terrific starting point. So they have to be thrilled with where things are at with their pitching. Some encouraging signs there from Tehran. Hopefully he can keep the velocity up and continue to pitch effectively. So I think the staff is in really good shape, and obviously there's been a run of dominance here of late that has to tail off to some extent. But I think they've got the arms and they've got the talent. They'll keep it going.
As we continue with Kent Covington, BravesWire.com, very cool website that also has the Southern Fried Baseball podcast and tickets to Braves games and everything else on it. And Kent, two-game road trip up to Toronto tonight. You just mentioned Mike Soroka. We know what he did in the last start since coming off the disabled list, but the Braves are looking at a Blue Jays team that are playing well. They just swept the Washington Nationals. They won 7 of 10 overall, but they're still double digits behind the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Yeah, Blue Jays are a good team, and it's going to be a challenge. And, certainly all Braves fans are very thankful to them for sweeping the Nats and giving the Braves a little bit of cushion. Hopefully the Braves can cool them off a little bit. It'll be cool to see Soroka on the mound, obviously a Canadian kid, so he is getting a chance to make this startup there in Toronto is going to be a really nice story. But yeah, I'm going to be interested to see what happens here as we look forward to Acuna's return. The offense has been the pitching's been fantastic, as we talked about them getting the job done. Could use a little bit of help in the middle relief department. The offense has been it's lost some steam. So hopefully we'll see the bats wake up in Toronto. Looking forward to getting Acuna back, hopefully, a little bit of time off. And, still some time, even though he's been hurt, he's still had more time here in the big league to sort of absorb everything, to continue learning, to continue adjusting mentally to this game. So hopefully when he comes back, he'll give him a shot on the arm. That's not going to be in Toronto, but hopefully we'll get the sticks going.
Hey, Kent, as excited as I am about the Braves right now, I'm also excited to see the fans are coming out in droves and supporting them. They are stuffing the all-star ballot boxes. We've got Freeman. We've got Markakis is the leading vote getter in the National League in the outfield, which is something I never thought I'd see. It's great times to be a fan, I guess, of the Braves, man. Everybody's stepping up right now.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable to, the Braves obviously have a half dozen good candidates, for the All-Star game. And, Braves fans are excited. And you're seeing, I think, the Braves fans excited not only in Atlanta, but you have a national following that was established through all those years on TBS and Braves fans throughout the country. They always draw well on the road. And I think you're seeing some of that reflected in the All-Star balloting. Obviously, Freddie Freeman and Nick Markakis are very deserving of being where they are on the All-Star balloting. Albies, he's tailed off a little bit. He's not getting on base. He's been in a bit of a slump overall. So probably there's a guy or two that are a little more deserving at this point. But one of the things is with the Braves having several pitchers who are All-Star worthy, Folty, as we talked about, Newcomb, and also probably Winkler is deserving of a consideration. So one of the things to watch will be if several Braves are in the starting lineup, you may not see any Braves pitchers selected for the All-Star team because of that rule that you have to have one player from each team. So, that'll be one thing to kind of watch there with Albies. It'll be sort of a bittersweet thing there, depending on whether or not he makes the starting lineup, from fan voting. If Albies does not, that increases the odds that the Braves are going to have a pitcher or two on the All-Star roster. But you're not going to see 5-6 Braves on the All-Star roster, so it's just a matter of who the Braves are going to send to Washington. And I think it looks like Markakis and Freeman rightly are locks, and now we'll see whether Albies makes it or whether perhaps that if he doesn't, that'll give Newcomb and Folty a shot at perhaps being placed on the team.
As we continue with Kent Covington, BravesWire.com, check out the website. And Kent, now you look at the East Division. The Braves have both 3.5 game leads on both the Phillies and the Nationals. Is this a three-team race? Can the Mets, even though they've won 3 in a row, scratch back in it? And will this be a situation where these clubs watch what the other one's doing to decide if they're going to make a move after the All-Star break?
Yeah, I think, I'm more worried about the Nationals than the Phillies, but I wouldn't write off the Phillies. They've fallen back a few games there, but they've got talent, and certainly they could opt to go out and make some moves here to further improve their team. So, right now we have to say it's a three-team race. I would say I'm a little bit more scared of the Nats than the Phillies, but it is a three-team race. Mm-hmm. Obviously, those three are still in it. The Mets, I think, are cooked. I would be shocked if they pull back into the thick of this race. Just so many different things going wrong up there in New York. They're kind of a mess, but. Despite some recent wins, but for now we have to look at it as a three-team race, and we'll see as we approach the deadline what each team chooses to do. The Nationals went out and got, his name's escaping me at the moment, but the Kansas City closer went out and added him to the bullpen, so they got a jump on everyone else in the NL East in terms of making a significant addition to bolster that roster and to make their pitching staff better. So it will be interesting to see what Alex Anthopoulos chooses to do for this team. I think clearly the Braves are buyers. Clearly they're, Anthopoulos is on the phone. He's looking for ways to improve this team and make this roster better. But, they are at a spot where, and it was talking with a guy on Twitter today about, trading for Machado, and I understand a lot of fans want to see that kind of a move, but it just seems unlikely to me that the Braves are going to go out and give up and surrender a big package of talent for a rental like that. I think whatever the Braves do, I would expect that they are going to bolster the bullpen in some way. If they do go out and get a significant bat or something of that nature, it will have to be – they're not going to give up a huge package of talent for a rental, once again, is the bottom line of that. If they give up a huge package of talent, it's likely to be for a controllable player who's going to be a member of this roster beyond this season. So it will be interesting to see what they do. Obviously, he's got all the trade chips in the world. Maybe not a lot of financial flexibility or a lot of cash to spend this season, but the Braves are certainly in a position to make a move. I think the Phillies general manager is on the phones looking for ways to improve that team. So it is going to be fun to see what these teams do here between now and the trade deadline.
Yeah, Kelvin Herrera is the guy that the Nats picked up yesterday.
Yeah.
So, Kent, we're talking about making a move, right? There's still a lot of talent in the minor leagues. Is there anybody that you expect to see coming up in the next few weeks? I know Austin Riley got injured. We still got a stockpile of arms down in Gwinnett right now. Do you see any of those guys making the roster in the upcoming weeks?
Yeah, I think we could see. We could certainly see a reliever, called up from the minors. I'm not sure who else. I mean, obviously Austin Riley was the guy we were keeping a big eye on, but he, first cooled off for an extended period of time and then got hurt and out for several weeks. So that really is going to change the equation there. Where at one point in time, if we talked about this, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I'm thinking, man, Riley could be up here, soon, like June. But, that all changed. Again, he cooled off, which is fine. Obviously, you've got to be patient with kids and allow them to develop at their own pace. And that's going to happen when some guy, when a guy moves up to a new level, there's going to be some ups and downs. And then he got hurt. So more than likely, he could get a cup of coffee in September. But more than likely, we're talking about 2019 now with Austin Riley. In terms of an impact piece, maybe somebody like Allard. But at the same time, the rotation, we don't have an opening in the rotation. So you could see, and that's something that's been talked about, that Alex Anthopoulos has mentioned as a possibility, you could see some of those young starters being brought up and used in the bullpen. We've seen Gohara used some in the pen. Obviously, we've seen Fried used some in the pen. Allard could be the next guy up, so we could also see that. There are a couple of, double and triple-A relievers who are worthy of a shot. But we could also see a couple of those young starting arms being brought up to bolster the bullpen. But I do think they are going to try to address, improve the depth of the bullpen via trade between now and the deadline. I'd be shocked if they didn't.
Well, listen, Kent, tell our listeners about BravesWire.com because, like you have as a tagline, everything Braves in one place. Also, there's a link to click on the Southern Fried Baseball podcast right there at the top of the page.
Yeah, that's a little stale. Haven't done one in a while, but I need to get back on it. Thanks for the plug, though.
All right. Well, listen, let's enjoy this, and we will talk to you soon. And, this is the one place I will actually let Childress get away on air with saying we, because everybody here
yes.
in the Greenville area is a longtime Braves fan. Thank you, Kent. Appreciate everything.
Good deal. Thanks, buddy. I'll take care.
All right. Kent Covington, BravesWire.com. Very cool. Very cool site. Like some information like this, Childress. You won't talk about having a bad day last week. One of the Braves minor leaguers, a pitcher, Josh Raven, a reliever, was hit by a line drive in the face. Had, 5 fractures and a concussion.
Good grief. Yeah, that's not good.
That's a bad day.
That is a bad day.
We've talked about this being a weird day. That's
yep.
a bad day right there. All right, so here's the deal, guys. It's open phone lines at 844-GSP-ESPN. We've got the NBA draft a little bit to get into, including Sturgis get-off-my-lawn moment for the day.
Uh-oh.
Why I don't really care. We've got some NFL news with Gronkowski and a whole bunch of college football talk in hour number 3. And the best part of Diesel being back at ESPN Upstate while we're here at Smoke on the Water, he gets his get off my lawn moments during the breaks. You know what I mean? So
he may be right on that one, though. So we'll leave that up for a debate later.
Yeah, I was sitting here, and I've got the Le Mans indoor karting website up, and I love their tagline. We encourage speeding.
That's great.
That is so opposite of what I go home and deal with my soon-to-be 17-year-old daughter that has her own car. Sweetie, we don't encourage speeding because you get a speeding ticket, guess what? You're paying for it and the difference in insurance with what it is now with what it used to be. So
I'm still looking forward to getting out there. I haven't been out there yet. It looks like a blast. I know a bunch of people that have been out there, and they loved it. So that looks like a fun place.
No, it is a ton of fun. My wife literally said back before my surgery, that's probably the last time she saw a really, really unsolicited big smile on my face.
When you were at Le Mans Karting? Awesome.
Yep.
Good. So, we'll get you back out there.
We will. We will. All right. Thursday night, the NBA draft's coming up. Over, under on number of times we will hear possible landing spots for LeBron James in the upcoming in the broadcast. Because, listen,
20.
Here's the deal. You know, football – The football draft, I'll sit there and watch. Why? Because you know these scouting departments, these GMs have done their homework. Now, I get the fact that Baker Mayfield is right now, you know, number two quarterback for the Browns behind Tyrod Taylor. But they drafted Baker Mayfield number one to take over at some point this year, and if not this year, definitely probably next year. The NBA draft is the total opposite. They are drafting on upside potential of what may happen 3 years down the road. And I don't get it. I want to see an immediate return on my investment, and I get it. That's not always the case in life. But I guess my get-off-the-lawn moment comes from also watching a bunch of 18- and 19-year-old kids become multimillionaires, and quite frankly, they're not ready to handle it.
In many cases, you're right on the second piece of that. Now, a lot of the guys drafted at the top of the draft surge are going to make immediate impacts. I mean, they're going to go right out on the floor. Ayton's going to be playing. Marvin Bagley's going to be playing. Luka Doncic's going to be playing. All of these guys make an impact. Just like LeVar Ball came right in. Jason Tatum last year has been playing and had a great season this year. So I don't think it's quite as much as you think. Yeah, but you're right. And a lot of times it's on size. And, you know, the NBA is moving closer and closer to having – five guys on a court at all times between 6'7 and 6'10 that are athletic and can move and shoot threes. That's where the game is going. So if you fit the bill from a size perspective and you got any kind of jump shot, you're probably going to get drafted, even if there's a super smart guard, super smart big guy that might have some talent and can help you in a short term. You're going to bet on the guy that you're hoping 3-4 years down the road turns into a defensive stopper or a 3-4 that can go under or out and guard people on the perimeter. I get it. I see where some of your frustrations are, and I agree. Because there's guys that weren't even very good in college that'll go in the first round tonight just solely based on that.
Right. You go back to 2001, all right? Michael Jordan had completed his run of the greatest basketball player in NBA history with six championships with the Chicago Bulls. But he had moved on as more or less – LeBron James with the Washington Wizards, a little bit of player coach, a little bit of personnel, the GM. And do you remember the greatest of all time? And I'm sorry, in my opinion, it's Michael Jordan, completely missing on the number one pick in the draft. It was his personal selection, Kwame Brown.
Oh, yeah. Disaster.
How can you miss on something like that? You figure that's once a quarter century that you have that kind of a bust is the number one overall draft pick. But guess what? We just saw it again back in 2011 with Anthony Bennett being chosen number one overall by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tell me where Anthony Bennett is today.
He may still be kicking around in the NBA, but he is definitely not a number one talent. So what a big miss by the Cavs.
Now, how do you view Greg Oden? Because I think
he's a bust, but it was due to injury.
Yeah, I think
right?
He and Jay Williams go into a different
Yes, I wouldn't consider Jay Williams was a great player.
Yeah, he was a great player until he got hurt. Greg Oden, I think we all believed that he would go on to do great things. But, again, those knees on a 7'2" center like that, they just gave out. And Greg Oden, never to be heard from again. So that's kind of where I'm getting to my point when it comes to – the NBA, in my personal opinion, I don't sit here and I did not do 5 hours of homework last night to back it up, but it just seems like it's more of an inexact science when it comes to drafting in the first round as compared to the NFL. And I'm talking those top five selections.
I think you could be right on that. I mean, you don't see as many busts in the NFL, it feels like. But I think they're magnified in the NBA because there's only two rounds. There's only going to be 60 players drafted on Thursday night. And if you miss on one, it's much more glaring. You know, you can't hide from it, and it could be a real setback to your franchise. If you're, you know, number three, Atlanta Hawks tonight or on Thursday night, if they don't get the right guy at three, that could really hamstring them for a couple of years. But, man, if you hit on it, then they could take their complete, you know, 3-4 year rebuild and maybe move it up even a year or two. So I love the NBA draft. I love all the drama that goes with it. I think there's going to be some movement of picks and some teams trying to unload some contracts this year. Where's LeBron going? Where's Kawhi going? I think that's going to factor into all of the teams, of course, but some others that I was reading something earlier today that the Lakers may just try to completely get rid of their number one or their first round draft pick because it puts a cap lock of almost $2 million down, and that could prevent them from signing one of the big guys later. So they may basically give the draft pick away so that they don't have to eat that money while they try to see if they can get LeBron and Paul George and all those guys.
That's the greatest thing that happened to that potential draft pick, to not go out there and get into the LeVar Ball, Lonzo Ball, disrap situation going on with the L.A. Lakers. But, all right, let me give you one more name. I laughed at this. This is the one time – I'm going to be honest with you. Kwame Brown, I think everybody was infatuated when he was coming out of the Orlando area back in the 2001. He was somewhere down in Florida.
Yeah, I think that's right.
When a couple of years ago, Hasheem Thabeet was taken number two overall in the 2009 draft after averaging 5 blocks per game, but basically no points for the University of Connecticut. That's when I went,
Yeah.
We've lost this thing. Tell me how many people remember the name Hasheem Thabeet, literally the number two overall pick in the 2009 draft out of UConn.
Well, that's why it's interesting this year as well. You've got Mohamed Bamba and you've got DeAndre Ayton. These are two big guys that habitually over the last number of years have not been coming through in the drafts. The NBA is getting away from teams that are centered around a big guy, but two of the top 3, 4, 5 picks on Thursday are probably going to be these giant 7-foot-plus guys. Now, they're a lot more athletic than – Hasheem Thabeet? I can't even remember his first name.
Hasheem Thabeet.
Hasheem.
7'3". No, Thabeet. They're all looking for the next Kristaps Porzingis. They're not.
They are.
They are not looking for the next 7'3 space eater because guess what? The game's gotten away from that. We've seen it with Andrew Bogut to a certain extent with Golden State.
Yep.
You've got to be able to pick your feet up and get down the floor in today's day and age in the NBA, and that's why you're not going to see these big slow space savers taken up. Or if they are, they're going somewhere that's not competing for the title.
So a lot of Duke players, I think, are going to be going early tomorrow. There's a lot of great storylines to watch. And, again, I'm really, really pulling for Dante Grantham from Clemson.
Same here.
Of course, ended his season with an injury. He is showing up now on some mock drafts in the 45 to 55 range and pick. I've seen him attached to the Oklahoma City Thunder a couple of times. How great would it be? All the hard work he's done, you know, throughout his college career, but to come back from that injury and then to get to hear his name called on Thursday night, that's why when it's, I don't know, 10-20, they're getting into the second round, a lot of people are turning it off. That's when I'll be watching even closer to see if he can land someplace.
Well,
be great
he can play at multiple positions,
yes.
And that's what you've got to be able to do in the NBA in today's day and age. Now, I did see a mock draft that just absolutely hit the nail on the head because 4 years ago, I thought Golden State and the Warriors were a great story. Because they had sucked forever. I'm really going back to the days of Rick Barry when they won their, the 1974-75 NBA title somewhere back in then. So they became a really good story with Steph Curry from Davidson College and all this stuff. Much like Alabama football, much like Clemson football, Ohio State and Oklahoma, fans of other teams in college football, they're sick of seeing those teams in the college football playoff. How I think a lot of people are transitioning. They're sick of Golden State.
I think They're not. Their popularity is going down, right, not going up, as they're winning more, which is unique.
Their draft pick at the end of the first round is so. And this mock draft was so cool because it would just. It would be the one person they could draft out of this year's allotment that would actually make their popularity go even further down. Who am I talking?
Are you going to say Grayson Allen?
Yeah, I saw Grayson Allen, no joke, in a mock draft to Golden State. And I went, that would just be so apropos for a team who has gone from, hey, man, that's pretty cool, to I really don't want to see them in the NBA Finals for a fifth consecutive year.
I think Grayson Allen could be a good pro. I mean, for what it's worth. I know why you're busting on
him.
Yeah,
but
he's very athletic, and he can play defense. That would be interesting.
And I'll give him credit. He also knows his role. And
yes,
sometimes in the NBA, that's what it takes to be successful. Know your role, sucker.
Yeah. Here's what I do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it well. Yep. I'm not going to ask for more playing time. I'm going to get the mid-level contract. I'm not going to get the giant contract. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. There's a huge value for that in the NBA because there's not a lot of
it. Well, I think he's got more options playing 4 years under Kay at Duke than, say, a Jimmer Fredette did coming out of Brigham Young back in the day. And what was his role? Shoot.
Yeah,
but you got to be able to do more than that. Look at Adam Morrison coming out of Gonzaga, being taken, what, number four by the Bobcats back in the day.
Yeah, you know, good grief. So, I'd forgotten about him.
I mean, so that's my point. That's my get all. There's a certain amount of jealousy that a 19-year-old is getting life-changing money that I will never see in my lifetime despite going to work every day for 40 years. All right?
Well, is it upsetting? I mean, what's the difference between a 19-year-old DeAndre Ayton and a 21-year-old going into the – I mean, wasn't Deshaun Watson 21 when he got drafted in the NFL? It doesn't bother you as much because they've been in college for 3 years? Is that part of it?
3 years of competition, more being about the team. Here's the deal. I hate the one and done because that's renting a player for a year, and you're looking at three or four coaches that have been able to do this successfully, and it's Coach K and it's Coach Calipari and some of those. And, I mean, you can put on one hand who has really taken advantage of the one and done, and I like to see teams built. You know,
me too.
And, listen, I get it. I'm old. I'm Fuddy. You're now Duddy. You know,
I'm not Duddy on the NBA. Hold on. I'm all in on the NBA.
No, I didn't say. I just said draft.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and there's a certain amount of jealousy involved.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But, I mean, we're so Fuddy and Duddy, we decided to pool our money to take our wives out to dinner for our anniversaries on Thursday.
It's BOGO, right? It's buy one, get
Dude,
one.
Is that
what it is? It's
24-inch pizza at Bada Bing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right.
We're going a little nicer than that,
yes,
sir.
We
Come on,
are.
You're
going
to get me in trouble here.
No. Actually, thanks to Carrie Beth for getting the time. But literally, we might as well explain, we're celebrating the same number year anniversary.
Yes.
We're celebrating on the same day. And we were married at the same time.
And so, we were both married in Greenville.
And we were both married here
in Greenville.
I'm guessing
10 miles apart between City View Baptist Church, where I was
married.
Where
was y'all's reception?
Ours was in the fellowship hall at City View. Yep.
We had you top there. Ours was at the Poinsett Club.
Oh!
Well, hold on. I told
you. We couldn't get the Poinsett Club. No, I'm just kidding.
I told you ours was a wedding reception/retirement
celebration. But you didn't tell me the Poinsett Club until today. So that's very nice.
They had like a pasta
Love that over
bar.
There. Nice.
Where you could go. I was living in Knoxville. They call up and go, what do you think of this? Sounds great, because I knew I wasn't paying for it. So,
Pasta bar at the Poinsett Club.
Yeah, $8.40.
We
literally drank the Poinsett Club out of vodka that night. They had to break into their private stash.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I got to hear more about this during the commercial break.
844-GSP-ESPN. Your thoughts on the NBA draft on Thursday? Are you, like me, a little bit jealous? And, I don't know. Like I said, it's kind of the way the NBA's gone as a whole. 844-GSP-ESPN. All right, welcome back here. We're live at Smoke on the Water. We got an update from the College World Series, Childress. It was 1-0 Florida over Texas, and then the Gators get a score to make it 2-0. Then they clear the bases with a 3-run homer, and the Gators are up 5-0. Is that bottom of the sixth inning? I believe that's what
it is. Yeah, bottom six, Florida 5, Texas 0. So the Longhorns better rally, or they're going home.
Get them all out of there. Casey Clemens. Ride that train on back to Austin, Texas. So it was actually Casey Jones in that song. I get it before anybody. If you're a Grateful Dead head, do not call me up telling me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I have actually been to – I actually went to a Grateful Dead show back in the day.
That doesn't surprise me. You're a big music guy, so it doesn't surprise me one
bit.
Well,
it was so funny, man. I mean, dude, we got just a couple of minutes. It's like my physical terrorist, Justin, over at ATI, who I'll be seeing at 11 o'clock in the morning. He went to the University of Colorado from Charleston. And I said, yeah, you know, when I was leaving Tuscaloosa, I was getting out of school, going down to Florida. You know, everybody that was really cool wanted to move out to Boulder. Everybody that was into Widespread Panic and Blues Traveler and bands like that I know you know of from Macaulay and stuff back in the day.
Yep.
So, you know, these little girls would show up in Tuscaloosa as an 18-year-old freshman. I'm talking, I'm 23, you know, 22 at this point, getting ready to move to Florida. And you see them 1 month, and they'd have a, you know, an inch of makeup with big bows in the back of their hair. And 6 weeks later, you'd see them with the Birkenstock sandals, with the, you know, no makeup. They had become a deadhead in 6 weeks, and you're like, really? How many shows have you been to? None. Then shut up. You're not a deadhead. You're a wannabe. But I'm not a deadhead, and I've actually been to a couple of shows.
Where did you see him? Here locally?
I saw him in Atlanta at the Omni, and then I also saw them up in RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C., when they had Bruce Hornsby playing with them.
That's an interesting combination.
Yep. So again, great, you know, great time, enjoyed it and all. I'm not a deadhead, but guess what? You showing up 6 weeks removed from high school, going from Sorority Pledge to Hardcore Widespread Panic, Blues Traveler, New Potato Caboose, Grateful Deadhead. Sorry. Welcome to wanting to be part of something instead of actually
get
living.
Off my lawn. You had a couple of these today, man. Come on.
You got it, because, you know, that's what we got to do at this time of the year. Get off our lawn, because we're going to get into some college football talk. And you know what? Did you know, in the final hour, Les Miles have a get off my lawn moment when it comes to the head coaching position at LSU? But listen, when we come back, I want your opinion, Childress. Is this the year that we see the England Patriot just kind of dissipate? According to Instagram, Tom Brady let it be known earlier today that he is going to be playing till he's 45 years old. However, did you see his interview with Oprah?
I did not see it, but I heard, actually, on the huddle earlier this week, they're playing some cuts from that is where I heard it.
Well, you know, when asked, you know, your relationship with Belichick, his first response was,
Yeah. There's some fracturing going on there.
Number two, Gronkowski, he finished runner-up in the Preakness, but let's talk about the other Gronkowski and what he would have been treated like with the New England Patriots, and will this friction end up causing a great franchise to kind of come to an end when it comes to this run? 844-GSP-ESPN, and in the final hour, a bunch of college football, including the case of Art Schleister, Heisman Trophy contenders, and Les Miles as well. So, according to the Monday Morning Quarterback, Monday Morning Quarterbacks, Albert Breer, Rob Gronkowski, and the New England Patriots were really close to parting ways before this NFL draft. Now,
wow,
this is what they go on to say in this article. It says, considering Gronkowski's offseason antics, conducting business with the four teams that they did would make sense for Belichick. Belichick has spoken to Gronkowski about the situation recently. This is what Breer had to say. This kind of came to a point where Gronkowski sort of disengaged from the program and asked for a raise. There was this bizarre press conference before that monster truck rally that Gronk had. That sort of served as the, all right, we need to get him in here now and sit him down and talk with him, because this can't keep going this way. Now, they only had talks with four teams, but guess what? Tell me what the connection is with Detroit, the Detroit Lions, the Tennessee Titans, the Houston Texans, and the San Francisco 49ers.
I don't know. Is it part of the Belichick coaching tree?
You got it.
Okay, so he's calling some friendlies to say, hey, do you want Gronk and what would you give me?
Yep, exactly.
Interesting.
You got Mike Vrabel, the former Pats linebacker, and, you know, with, oh, God, who did Vrabel? The Colts, right?
Or, yes. Yeah, that's right.
Or no, not the Colts. Anyway, all of those guys in the front office have had a relationship with Bill Belichick. So they weren't shopping him league-wide. But my point being, you got a little bit – facial expressions to me can mean so much when you see him. And you see how Tom Brady, his first reaction of when being asked about any issues with Belichick – told me a lot, but then he goes on to say, I love the guy. You know, it's like any other relationship in this world. You don't get along all the time and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it just sounded like they weren't even on the same page as they were. Gronk being traded. Listen, we know he loves to party.
Yeah.
So is this the end of a dynasty that we are seeing? Because I'm not sure this can continue under anybody else other than Bill Belichick.
Well, what's going to blow up a dynasty most of the time? It's injury and it's ego.
Jealousy.
So, yeah, and I think you've got some gigantic, epic-sized egos with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I think you put Gronk in the middle of that, too. Brady clearly struggling for some type of control. You know, in his documentary that came out last year, he had a couple of comments that he left in there where he said he didn't really feel appreciated. And things like that. There's clearly some kind of rift going on. And when I hear about things that are going on that are that big, you're going to have a hard time winning a Super Bowl with that going on.
Well,
have to all be on the same page. If you're not, good luck.
Yeah, the one person that could probably sit Gronk down and look him in the eye and go, dude, you either change or, you know, we're shipping you out, is Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And whatever they said, they sat down, they had a meeting, and Gronkowski apparently looked Belichick in the eye and said he wants to be a Patriot. And that's when they decided, okay, we'll work this thing out together. And, of course, Gronkowski attended minicamp and seems to be devoted to the New England Patriots this year. But I just – first of all, we know this can't continue forever, all right? Number two, they're just – you know, some marriages end in divorce no matter how much the people love each other.
You want to go out on top if you're Tom Brady. So, to me, you know, I feel like Tom Brady might have retired if they'd have won the Super Bowl this year. Maybe I'm misreading this, but he seems super frustrated. You know, he's not making the NFL max, and he and his wife make so much money outside of the NFL. He's probably losing money by playing for the rate that he's playing at right now. I think Tom wants to go out on top. So, to me, if he can find a way to win in the next year or two, he wins, he goes off into the sunset as the GOAT, with the most Super Bowl titles of all time, and then he goes and makes gazillions of dollars every year for the rest of his life. That, to me, is where this thing is headed. And if it starts going in the other direction and they start losing some more games and they start having some more fractures, maybe it drives him out a little bit quicker than 45.
But let me ask you that. Loyalty's one thing, but the New England Patriots and the NFL are a business.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, you know, listen, Robert Kraft didn't make his money just owning the New England Patriots. He owned, what, multiple
Gillette, I think, and everything else
before that. Just, you know, at some point you go, I'll give you one, maybe two more years, but I am not looking forward to having to watch the New England Patriots with the 43, 44-year-old quarterback back there, because once age takes over with Tom Brady, it's going to take over exponentially quicker.
I would agree on that. Now, but again, Sturge, you got to remember, they're not paying him Matt Ryan money.
I know.
Right? They are paying him less than that. So they have the wiggle room, I think, to not have to worry that much about it. And Tom Brady is so good. I agree. He's going to hit a wall at some point, even with his diet and exercise program and all of that stuff. He's not making a ton of money. So that helps a lot and helps the cause a lot, right? It's not the aging NBA star who signs the six-year deal and you know you're going to get 2 years out of him, and when you're in year five, you can't even get up and down the floor anymore. It's not like that. So it's not the worst possible contract. And Brady seems to be defying the odds of everyone before him so far. So why not now?
And the other thing I would maintain is just look at the division that they're in. I mean, who is really gotten their act together that they feel like that they can give the New England Patriots a run for their money. Miami, you just keep stumbling over themselves. What are we going to see out of Ryan Tannehill? Just don't even talk to me about the New York Jets. So, you know, you're really looking at a Buffalo team that is somewhat in disarray. Is probably the only competition for the New England Patriots in 2018.
I'm not taking anything away from the Patriots. An amazing team. But we heard Wes Durham earlier say the NFC South,
yeah,
with the Falcons and the Buccaneers and the Saints and the Panthers, is the toughest division in football. Tom Brady and the Patriots have been playing pretty much in the weakest division in NFL football for the last decade. Never hear this talked about at all. They have a cakewalk. They almost have five or six guaranteed wins a season within their own division because the teams aren't just mediocre. They're usually bad, mm-hmm, and sometimes they're horrific. So they benefit from not having to expend all that energy during the season, and I think that plays some kind of factor in their overall success across the board.
Well, it's going to be interesting, no doubt. And like I said, I'm kind of looking at this year as maybe the year that you see it start to fall apart a little bit because, again, you said egos, you know, jealousy, egos, whatever. Regardless, you're human, and those things can creep into things after a while. But this much I do know, I ain't laughing at Gronkowski about buying a horse. Why? Because that thing finished second in the Preakness to the triple champion. So
good for him.
Anyway, going to be interesting. All right, here's the deal. We're going to switch gears when we come back to college football. We'll take a look at the Heisman contenders this year. Also want to state something I watched on television last night. If you're an old enough Clemson fan, I would tell you to watch it. I was absolutely astonished. But Les Miles, the hat, you know what? He won a national title at LSU, so maybe he knows what he's talking about. But you got to love it when the former coach trolls the current coach. We'll tell you about that when we come back in hour number three.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.